This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday.
Hola.
I had to think about that one for a second. This is the Gareth Cliff Show. I'm Sia with Leanne and Ben. Good morning, folks.
Hello.
Oh,
we're off to a great start. Can you feel the energy?
Wow, Ben.
Coursing through Ben's veins.
Yeah, I'm ready here. I'm ready.
So lovely happy to be here on a and Tuesday.
Excited. Like, I'm awake. I'm here. Don't push it.
Let's try that again. Good morning, Leanne.
Hola.
Hi. Good morning, Ben.
Hello, sir.
I preferred the other one.
Jeez, you are just scraping the bottom of the barrel with Ben there. You guys look like 50 Shades of Grey going on. Did you notice that? You have coordinated outfits.
Not really. We're just both kind of wearing grey jerseys.
And 50 Shades of Grey with the glasses as well. There are a lot of similarities.
We're basically brother and sister.
Oh, right. Hashtag twinsies. I'm trying anything just to lift Ben's mood at this point.
Well, my mood's fine. I'm here. I'm happy.
Ben,
I'm
not what's on your grumpy list this morning?
Zero. Nothing.
Demi Lovato that played a little
bit. Yeah, that song was shit, but I mean, that's nothing untoward.
Yeah.
It's what you expect.
You can move past that.
Yeah, totally.
I don't expect much from a drug addict.
Really?
What is
Demi? Who? What?
Yeah, she is a druggie. Yeah. But I mean, of all things that she's done,
but like as in giving hand jobs to crack kind of drug addict, or is she like just, you know, a little sniff here and there?
No, she's she's seen dark places.
Don't
you remember her recent OD?
No. Oh, there we go. Demi Lovato addicted to drama too. Ooh.
Yeah, she's landed up in like
she almost died, Ben.
Well, yeah, no, I'm really sorry I missed this.
She had to have...
For Demi's sake, how insensitive of me.
What do paramedics give you? It's like something that you...
Slap in the
resuscitate?
Face?
Resuscitate?
No, it's a specific chemical medicine.
Adrenaline?
Which basically brings you back from the dead. They had to use that on her.
Yeah, adrenaline.
No, it's not that, Ben.
Kiss of life?
No.
Because that's what I was given when I almost
You guys
died.
Don't know anything.
When did you almost die?
Well, I can't give blood, so when I do, I pass out.
Oh yes, you've discussed this before.
We've discussed this before. And I passed out and hit my head, and then my didn't really have much of a pulse. So like a scene out of Pulp Fiction, the doctor had to stab me with this adrenaline.
Oh.
Yeah.
See,
it's obviously run out by now.
Was a long time ago, Leanne, you're right.
This is why I think you should also make a cameo on Gord and Leanne's podcast about their lives.
Yeah.
That would make a great story.
Yeah,
if they give you a moment to talk.
Well, exactly. They'll introduce me and that'll be it.
But that would be a great, great story to
I
tell.
Why are you laughing, Leanne? Because Gord won't let you talk either.
Oh, no.
Is Gord definitely on tomorrow?
According to our conversations, yes.
Okay.
I feel like you miss him, and I feel like he misses you as well.
Well, obviously he misses me.
The dynamic of not seeing each other on a Wednesday is breaking down your bromance.
Yeah, but also, like, me not being here on Wednesday means Gord just talks way too much. Like, you guys don't rein him in.
Are you going to bring us back to, you know?
No, it's just general banter, but you guys definitely don't rein him in.
Okay.
He bullies you, sir.
And Ben, this is why you're coming in tomorrow. You will be able
I'll
to
be here.
Manipulate the situation.
Sort the show out, make things happen.
And then we'll see the Gareth Cliff as well, and he'll tell us stories of old buildings and old people.
When's Gareth back?
Tomorrow.
He's back tomorrow. Are you judging him for his version of sightseeing as he's in the UK?
No, I've been loving his Instagram updates of all these old historic places and old royal things and manicured gardens and stuff. You know, look, see, don't laugh. That's Gareth's generation.
Mm-hmm. Gareth's generation.
Ben, you are Gareth's in my generation.
But he always wants.
Why do you bring yourself into
just to make that.
I always think about it because Gareth and I are 2 months apart.
Oh,
he's older.
Obviously, I am.
Don't say obviously. Yeah. You know, you look 12 years old, Leanne.
No, not according to my looks. Okay, according to my levels of maturity.
Oh. And what you guys have. Ben, you and Gareth have 7 years? 6 years? No.
Five?
5 years between you.
So it's the same generation.
No, not according to Ben, though.
Gareth's generation could not have given birth to Ben's generation. So it's the same generation.
Do you know Gareth?
Maybe you mean in spirit, his generation. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely mean in spirit, yeah.
Oh, you see, Dr. Robin to the rescue. She texted us on 0797482090 this morning, and she says it is adrenaline, Leanne.
Ha. No, there's something else.
Are you gonna mess with Dr. Robin?
To argue with the doctor?
Robin. I am the person in this room with the most respect for doctors.
Stop digging, Leanne.
Especially your cousin who finds this whole's getting aromat deep up people's, you know. Behinds.
Do we discuss that in air, or you just bring that out of...
She did.
What?
Leanne brought it up last week.
Oh, I thought that was like a circle of trust conversation.
No.
Okay.
And also, Leanne and I would talk about a lot of things off air, but not well. You never guess what my cousin found up someone's ass last
she
week.
Overdosed on, I don't know how to say it, oxycodone.
Spell it out.
See, we need Dr. Robin on the show as well.
Condom.
We need phonetics.
It's basically heroin, right?
Sure, let's make it easy.
I'll find it, don't worry.
Let's go with that then, let's go with that, sure. I don't know, no, I've never heard of it. Oh well, okay. So we'll just go by
Let's just go back to the bottom line, I was right.
Okay, Ben.
Yeah. Yes.
No, I'm not willing to give it up yet.
You were right with that. Can we actually get Dr. Robin on the line, perhaps?
Yeah, that would be nice.
What? Like once a week questions for Dr. Robin.
Listen, I've got loads.
This should be a proper segment all the time. Dr. Okay. Robin, you know, I have this mole on my back.
I could fill an hour with my own questions to Dr. Robin.
Okay, so Gore, Dr. Robin, and Leanne have a podcast.
About health issues, what they've been through in their lives, how they almost died, and some relationship stuff as well. Someone else who texted us on... 0797482090 says the drug is called Narcon.
Yes. Oh no, that's the drug. Which drug? The fixing drug or the upper drug?
Leanne, I feel like at this point you'll just agree with anything to substantiate your point. I don't know. And then also Dr. Robin goes on to say, just call it Oxy. Whatever it is. But okay, she's on the line now.
Good morning, Dr. Robin. Administered Narcan.
Good morning. How are you, chaps?
Oh, Dr. Hello, Robin, doctor. Please help
how did
us.
It happened so quickly.
do you have any idea what Leanne is talking about?
I think I do. When a patient overdoses on something like an opiate, we give them an opiate reversal. And generally, that's a drug called Narcan.
Narcan, thank
but,
you.
But when someone is half dead, like Ben might have been with his bumped head and the heart's not working so well, and in the course of a massive resuscitation, then we do give them adrenaline.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
So just to settle this argument, technically both Leanne and Ben were correct.
They were correct in different senses.
In other words, I was correct in the bigger sense.
I was the most correct.
No, Leanne, you were not.
I'm just trying to ensure
she
that
was
we
administered
don't have
Narcan.
World War III.
It's not
here.
Adrenaline. So I was right.
Well, then she could have then just jogged it off because it doesn't seem like she's in too big of a problem. I was almost dead.
I'm going to bring both and let you try them and you'll see the difference.
Dr. Robin, what is Narcan?
Essentially, if someone's had too much of an opioid, they like morphine or heroin and all those sorts of things, what happens is they... everything starts to slow down, their heart rate starts to slow down, their breathing starts to slow down. And to kind of reverse those effects, particularly the breathing effects, because if your breathing slows down too much, eventually you stop, then it binds the receptor and bumps the drug off of it. And then it reactivates the receptor. So then the person starts breathing and their heart starts beating normally again.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now at least we have a clearer, better picture. And
that's it.
And, you know, Leanne and Ben don't have to fight with each other.
So as they were saying, they are both technically correct, but they are talking about two different conditions that need two different kinds of resuscitation.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for settling that.
Sorry, Dr. Robin, just one more thing. Have you ever had to like administer someone adrenaline, like you got to like jab it in them?
Yes.
And like, how do you know where to do it? Like, because I think they put it into my leg, which is weird. I know, in Pulp Fiction it was the heart, but that was obviously a movie, so you can't take that seriously.
That was made for TV, or made for movies. Essentially, if we're at the point of giving someone adrenaline and you're in hospital, generally it should be going straight into your IV line. But yeah, you can stick it into a muscle, and the leg's not a bad muscle.
Okay, now we know.
Easier than your bum muscle.
Easier and I think more pleasant. People would appreciate that more.
Yeah, exactly.
Than having to see random asses in your day job. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Robin.
Cool. No problem.
What's on the cards? What's on the cards today?
Today I'm just in my rooms and doing consultations. So we'll see if anybody crops up in labor and we'll see if we have any babies.
You know, just all in a day's work. I'll just be sitting behind my laptop, might make a few calls and attend a couple of meetings. That's all.
The life I dream of.
Thank you so much, Dr. Robin.
Cool. Cheers.
I wish I was as cool as a doctor, damn it.
Is that the first time we've had her on the show?
No.
Look, I haven't been here that often.
You were going to ask, where have you been?
She's great.
We've been sitting here all this time, Ben, 6 to 9, Monday to Friday. That's where you'll find us. And then someone else texted us saying, I'm trying to find the name. Craig from Cape Town says, Ben just needs tequila.
No.
Yeah. Maybe it might...
Ben's given up tequila.
It might be the resurgence of tequila to help you out.
Not at all. So what's in the cards for us today, though?
Well,
because last night you sent an email with yesterday's running order. I just thought
I'm
just going to skip this.
That's just not for you. No. Okay. Well, just before we get into the five things that you need to know and some news as well, a little late in the show, I went to chaperone my mother and her friends last night.
What?
I know.
Bingo?
It's not that dull, but also really isn't that fun and exciting either. Whenever my mom is in town, I try my best to see her and spend as much time with her as possible. And especially tomorrow, actually, is her birthday. So I thought, okay, let me be a nice son. Let me, just drive her around. She had a couple of errands to run and she had two of her friends with her as well. So it was...
Were they like shouting and screaming and laughing like schoolgirls?
My mother's not 14 years old.
I know, but when girls get together at any age, it's instinctive.
They become woohoo girls.
Yeah.
It just...
So you had some senior woo girls in your car.
Which I'm used to at this point. I didn't even bat an eyelid.
I have things to say, but I'd rather not.
But I realized yesterday how almost immune I am to swearing and cursing right now, because whenever I drive, I listen to music. I just
kiss your mother with that mouth, yeah.
And I just think I'm a more pleasant person on the road when I listen to music. So, and I have playlists galore that I have set up, and depending on my mood, depending on the day, I just press play, and that just goes off in the car. But yesterday, with my mother and her two friends, I realized how much of my music has swear words in it, and it's not just just a casual F-bomb every now and then. Sometimes, with rap music, it's like kiss that, tap that, flip that, poke that, touch that.
Yes.
Just so sexual the whole time. These poor women clutching their purses going, get me out of here.
And I was just casually, you don't really think about, what does Eminem say in his song?
Hang on a second. You now have three people in your car and you wouldn't default to the neutral setting of just putting some background radio on. No, I'm going to play you my music. It's my car, my rules.
I didn't even think of it in that way. It's just almost instinctive for me. You get in the car, I go into one of my playlists, I press play and I start driving. But now it's like Eminem goes off, Nicki Minaj goes off, Cardi B goes off.
You couldn't have put some Yucca Dunda on in the background for them all.
You're the cherry on top of all of this. And I am so ready to be judged at this point because I know my musical tastes are varied and probably, you can roll your eyes at this. There's an artist by the name of Todrick Hall. He's a musician. He's also a YouTuber. And he has a new song out called I Like Boys.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
And let me just play a couple of seconds of the song for you so that you understand what's going on.
Did this play in the car?
This played, I can't make this stuff up. This played while my mother and her two of the same age group friends were in the car. And it was only when the song started playing and the lyrics started going off, I was like, should I? No, let's just let it ride out. And we played all 3 minutes of the song. So this is just like a bit of it.
What is it? What's wrong, baby? There's something going on. I know it. I'm your mother. Tell me what it is. But you gotta speed it up with shit. I'm late for Bible study. What is it, baby? What?
Mama, come, doll, take a seat. There's someone you know that you've got to meet. So brace yourself for the big reveal. He's about my height when he's not in heels. Some boys play basketball. He played house with ratchet dolls. It's not Santa Claus, it's time for applause. It's coming out the closet, mama. I like boys, I like pecs. Like them arms when they flex. Like that print in them sweats. Tell them girls, thank you next. I like when they text me sexy pics of them. Like them abs when there's six of them. Tell them girls, I'm sorry. I like boys, mama. Boys like me.
I like boys who like boys.
Mama.
I like boys who like boys.
Work.
I like boys who like boys.
Mama.
I like boys and
boys like me.
Yeah. Boys like me.
Yeah, they do.
Boys like me. Boys like motherfucker boys like me.
I like when they shake.
I actually am starting to sweat again.
Yeah, that is the worst scenario possible.
Wow, you're right. She really can't make this up.
I'm like honestly breaking a sweat again. It was so cringeworthy.
The song's making me feel awkward thinking about your context.
It's like talking about seeing boys in sweatpants because you see everything and it's flipped. It was awkward. So awkward.
Oh boy, yeah. Got you on that one. There's no getting out of that. So did you just let it run?
And there's something about the fact that in this song, Todrick is talking to his own mom, saying, listen,
yeah,
I like boys, and the boys like me.
So what, did they say anything, or was it just this respectful silence?
My mom is not a confrontational or direct person, but I could tell in her demeanor, it's just like, well, traffic, woof, wow, can you see the roads? Well, I haven't been in Joburg in a while. She was just trying to fluff and make awkward conversation. And we shall never speak about Todrick Hall and his explicit lyrics ever again she and I.
So where did you take them?
Well, they went out for dinner. So I just picked them up for dinner. And then I dropped them off at her friend's place because she's staying there for a little while.
Okay.
And then we have birthday plans for her tomorrow. She's turning 58. So
your mom's quite young. Well, 58 in parent world is pretty young.
Now, considering my mom's nearly 70.
See, like, I lost count of my...
Well, then consider your age as well, though. I'm not being horrible. I'm just saying.
I know, that was straight to the throat, Ben.
But this is what Leanne, this is what he does.
You know when your parents shout at you and it hurts here in your neck?
This is what he always does. He's always so sensitive towards women. That's just what we got to
realize. His mother shouldn't be worrying about those songs. It should be what he says to people.
Or how he just treats women, yeah. I mean, it's become a thread in the show.
All right. I think she was 33 when she gave birth to me. So that's not...
Okay,
yo, that's young. All right, let me just not even carry on down this rabbit hole. Yes, she's young.
I've legitimately lost count of how old my parents are.
Really?
Because in my mind, they're like 60-something, right? And they always will be. I don't actually know. I mean, I could work it out, but...
It's not something that you remember all the time.
Yeah, but it's also like not important. You know, like, I don't dwell on that because like, I myself don't even think about my age that much. Because I was the lost count.
Yeah, and, I forget.
It's like with parents, just like anyone else that you care about, you just hope that they're healthy. That's all that matters.
Yeah, aren't there just key milestones, though, that remind you? Like last year was big for us because my dad turned 60.
Yeah, my parents actually haven't had a party in a long time. Or maybe they have, they just haven't told me.
Oh, no. Ben, when's your mother's birthday?
11th of November.
Okay, you do know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought maybe you were that...
Always remember the 11th of November.
No, I remember it particularly because I forgot it 2 years running. I felt so bad. I legit forgot it and I was like, fuck, I'll never do that again.
Oh, no.
And then I remember going to bed and waking up the 12th of November going, shit. It's 12th of
Oh, no, Ben.
2 years in a row.
Do you have siblings?
Three.
Don't they remind you?
Well, this is before WhatsApp. This was before before WhatsApp and Facebook.
See, I'm very fortunate. My mom's birthday is on mine.
Well, there we go.
So your mom was like in labor on her birthday.
Yeah. No, I was 3 weeks late. They had to cut me out. I wasn't going anyway.
Yeah, it's still not ideal, though.
No, she was 25, so we're exactly a quarter of a century apart.
Yeah, how does that work? So,
you know, Ben, there are the birds.
Ask me
the
questions.
No, sorry. Okay,
do we need to get Dr. Robin back
on the line?
I got you.
It's just that you said you was in labor on your birthday, and then you said I get it now. And then the 3 weeks later,
I was supposed to be there three weeks before.
Gotcha. Yeah, gotcha.
No, that confused me now. Oh, you were meant to be born 3 weeks
earlier. I was due in May,
earlier.
Yeah. But I was born on the 8th of June.
But she was comfy, so she...
Yeah, they got me out. My skin was blue and was falling off. So I was just like stewing in there. Just so lazy. Just, you know. But I've changed so much. Not.
Wait, are you being for real?
Yeah.
Your skin, you were born blue.
Yeah, now I'm a white.
She was like Avatar in the beginning.
Yeah, it was just like when you leave something in liquid for too long.
You just were way too comfortable in there.
Yeah, didn't want to do life.
Leaving. And then your mother opted to give birth on her own birthday?
I think it was just... It just happened. It was that was the
first
time.
Part of the story, being sensitive again.
Okay, guys. Okay. Listen. See, you just can't make this shit up. Exactly what someone texted us saying, quoting from yesterday's show. Ben describing Leanne's day job. They can make this bitch dance. Welcome to the Gareth Cliff Show, folks. Anyway, so Gareth will be back on the show tomorrow morning, and he'll be telling us about his trip. Ben, I know for you, you're gunning for a gift.
Yeah, not anymore, actually.
You've lost.
Nah, it's okay.
You've lost all hope.
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of sad. And then, in the meantime, then let's get into the five things that you need to know this morning. Starting off with our president, Ramaphosa, engaging with the Zimbabwean president, Emmerson Mnangagwa. President Emmerson Mnangagwa has held talks with President Ramaphosa, and the two actually discussed Zimbabwe. Sorry.
What?
Sorry, I was reading the news and then a message popped up from Graham. Graham says Leanne is a smurf.
Of course, that tickled you.
You were born blue. I mean, Graham isn't far off. Serious voice.
Back to business.
Sorry, Graham. I apologize. Let's carry on with the news. So, President Mnangagwa has held talks with President Ramaphosa, and the two discuss Zimbabwe's growing power crisis. So, Zimbabwe has actually been, and as some of you may know, experiencing daily power cuts of around 18 hours due to reduced generating capacity. And the state power company said it needed casually $14 million a month to import power from regional suppliers. So, confirming the meeting with his South African counterpart, Mnangagwa tweeted, actually, that Zimbabwe and South Africa were part of the same family.
No.
Doesn't this seem like someone who's forcing a relationship for some help?
But, like, what an absolute gathering of minds that is, huh? Two people who have no understanding of how to run a country.
We're part of the same family.
And now they're sitting here talking about things with no idea how they're going to get it, other than just maybe take it from someone or hopefully someone gives it to them. No plan of how to actually create anything.
At their meeting on the sidelines of an AU summit, actually, the two presidents were understood to have discussed various issues, including Zimbabwe's power crisis. So Mnangagwa told state media that Zimbabwe's power company, which is called the Zimbabwe Electricity Supply Authority, still owed Eskom a lot of money.
Did that check bounce? The one that they made last week.
Yeah, what happened? You know, what do you say to
it
that?
It was they showed the SMS on the e-wallet and then nothing came through.
But you know what? We're all part of the same family, right? But he said as well, this is Emmerson Mnangagwa, after last week's payment of $10 million to Eskom, Zimbabwe's energy minister was to lead a delegation to South Africa to try to clinch a new power supply deal. Is this the best solution we could find?
I think we passed best solutions with these crackpots.
I'm asking genuinely because I don't know, but we ourselves are in a predicament. It doesn't seem like we are the ones who should be on call to help others out because we're trying to get out of, you know, just the dark zone here.
True,
excuse the pun.
But we are the only ones that can provide Zimbabwe. I mean, what's Zimbabwe going to do?
Yeah, who else is there to call for them?
No one.
Okay. Well,
yeah, that's true.
but that's the whole thing about like shitholonomics is that once you get in there, you can't really get out.
Yikes. You're just too far behind to catch up.
Yeah, but also just the corruption and greed. It's just like whatever does get made or is there, then it gets stolen again. It's a horrible cliche trend that just can't, nothing stops the perpetual cycle.
Mm. Well, second story you need to know this morning. The Johannesburg Metro Police Department has warned motorists driving on the R558 in Soweto to find alternative routes as the road was blocked due to a protest. It's understood Doornkop residents have blocked the R558 with rocks and burning tires, protesting over a lack of electricity in the area. So the JMPD's Xolani Fihla said officers were monitoring the situation. In a statement, they said the situation is a bit calm at the moment, but the roadway is blockaded with rocks and burning tires. This was a statement they released yesterday afternoon. So hopefully by now, if you're leaving Soweto, it's a little easier.
Okay, I'm just going to go cock and block here. Electricity which is paid for or which is just assumed is free?
Well, we didn't know, and we did hear, I think it was 2 weeks ago, that you know Soweto owes, I think it's 18 billion.
Yeah, because they're not paying. Yeah. Like last week there was a story about, I forget where it is now, but residents of this community burnt down a school to protest the lack of electricity.
Ah.
Electricity which they have never paid for.
Mm-hmm. This is actually the next story this morning. It's a developing story right now in Katlehong. Uh-huh. That's the community you're talking about. Okay. The community of Katlehong yesterday denied claims that they set a primary school on fire during a protest. These are their words.
I mean, the funny thing about schools is they don't just sort of like selectively self-combust.
They don't just decide, today... and to just burn up and see what happens.
Yeah.
Sections of Katlehong Primary School were set alight last week during allegedly a protest over lack of electricity. So in a statement from the Gauteng Education Department, the department said it accepted the community's position that it did not mobilize for the burning of the school. Accordingly, it is suspected that this act of arson might be the work of a lone member of the community. It is important to note that we have an undertaking from the community to assist to track the culprit. This provisional accommodation has been made for the two grade R classes that were burnt and affected learners, as teaching and learning was expected to resume nationally today. Last week, Gauteng Education MEC Banyaza Lusufi expressed his disappointment in the community of Katlehong and said the department would not be rebuilding the school. That's quite a stance. Lesufi tweeted pictures of the aftermath of the fire with the caption, "People of Katlehong, this is what is left of Katlehong Primary School because the community is protesting against lack of electricity. This is completely unacceptable. Forget it if you think we will fix it. You will see to finish." Okay. The MEC said parents eventually had to pool money together and pay for damages themselves. This behavior must come to an end. We must be honest. The relationship between that community and Eskom is well documented. Eskom has been trying to deal with this matter, and to turn around and then burn a school, it can't be justified in any form.
No, not at all.
I can't take that money from another community that desperately needs a school and go and fix a school that they don't appreciate.
Oh, and so what? So it can be burnt down again? No.
Yeah.
I've never understood the link between burning something down, burning down trains. You know, you burn down a school because you're upset with Eskom. Don't make sense.
However frustrated you might be, I think it's counterintuitive. It's just ruining the entire process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's also what I've really never understood about that is you actually end up shooting yourself in the foot.
Yes.
It's not like, and I'm not condoning violence in any way, but it's not like they are going to Eskom's offices and burning Eskom's offices.
Mm.
They aren't blockading and protesting.
They're burning their own shit.
Outside the MEC's office.
Yeah.
They are shooting themselves in the foot, and that's what I've never understood. Yeah, you might be frustrated, but I've never been able to fully understand why that's the case. But yeah. Moving on to the next story that you need to know this morning, to something that's still being on social media as well over the past couple of days. So amid a public fallout over the future of e-tolls, the Transport Department has now spoken out and has urged motorists not to panic. Finance Minister Tito Mboweni and Gauteng Premier David Makhura got into a heated debate on social media a few days ago, forcing the president to intervene. Yikes. Mboweni is adamant that motorists must pay for the controversial system, while Makhura is not backing down and wants e-tolls to be scrapped. Transport Minister, there he comes in, Fikile Mbalula, also tried to calm the waters, urging both political heavyweights to keep the discussions offline.
Jeez, you know you have fallen so far off any sort of part of integrity when dress-up clown over here tells you to do something off the higher ground.
Dress-up clown.
Wow.
His spokesperson, this is Fikile Mbalula's spokesperson, said that the matter was receiving urgent attention. In his words, I think it would be grossly unfair to judge. This is Ayanda's words, the spokesperson, to judge Minister Mbalula against his predecessors. The dynamic has changed, the conversation has changed, and he will sit down with all the parties that are involved and find the best possible solution. August is the deadline that has been given, and August is the deadline that will be met. President Ramaphosa has given Mbalula until August to come up with a plan on the future of e-tolls. And then final story that you need to know this morning, KZN's only metro is buckling under leadership instability. Ethekwini Mayor Zandile Gumede's leave of absence might be extended. So despite placing Gumede on a 30-day leave of absence, the ANC says it hasn't finalized her matter just yet, and she's due to report to work on Wednesday. This is tomorrow. So according to the ANC KZN spokesperson Nomakuku Simelane Zulu, the Provisional Executive Committee will make a final decision on whether Gumede comes back or not. What the team is investigating, the bail conditions, how they affect the operations that Comrade Zandile has to undertake as a mayor, and as soon as that has been presented to the Provincial Working Committee, it will have to then go to the Provincial Executive Committee for a decision on whether she comes back or not. And currently, as we discussed actually last week on the Burning Platform, Gumede is facing fraud and corruption charges and is out on 50,000 rand bail and is due back in court on the 8th of August. So a lot is happening actually in August, now that we think about it. So if it's not e-tolls, it's what's happening in KZN. If you want to hear more on that matter, we discussed briefly on the Burning Platform with Canthan and Pumi, and we actually had Tim Tyrrell from Outer, who is planning to take the Ethekwini municipality and planning to take legal action rather against the Ethekwini municipality should the mayor Zandile Gumede be reinstated. So let's see how that plays out, and if you want to hear more on that conversation, you can download last week's podcast of the Burning Platform. Are we ready to get into some sport, Ben?
Yeah, of course. Yes.
What is on the cards for sport?
Well, Neymar didn't pitch up for training. There's a new leader in the Tour de France. Rossi Erasmus has got a bit of a captain quandary ahead of the Rugby Championship. And the latest from the AFCON mix going to quarterfinals.
Okay.
All right, let's start with Neymar. No, this is not another rape allegation story. That one seems to have died a bit. But he hasn't pitched up to the first day of preseason training with Paris Saint-Germain. And they say they are now going to take appropriate action. So we all know that Neymar has been so injury prone the last few years, very up and down. Hardly been the big player that he was in Barcelona. He took the big paycheck to go to PSG thinking it would be a good career move. Of course, it was a stupid career move. He knows that. PSG even knows that. Everyone knows that. So he is being linked with Barcelona again. Although, as I said a few weeks ago, would Barcelona really want this guy? He's obviously going to cost a whole bunch of money, but you can get so much better value from other players out there. I really think you can. So if Barcelona wouldn't pick him up, who really else wants him? A move to the English Premier League? I don't think this guy will last 5 seconds there. I really don't. I don't think he's got the bottle for it. And I think the fans would eat him up. They really would. So, interesting. You know, this is a guy who, in the World Cups, is diving around and moaning like a little bitch. And that will catch up with you in life. Simple as that. So don't be surprised if his career really does crash and burn, even though he is only still 27. with the world at his feet here.
Wow.
But yeah, he's been just, it's just a shame to see talent that doesn't ever go and reach his full potential. That's Neymar. If you disagree with me, please let me know. But I just can't see any other big team picking him up. I just can't. Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. Now, they had an exciting boxing fight match, draw card event last year in December. It was deemed a draw, with Tyson Fury believing he had won it. And many sort of boxing pundits also believed that. Deontay Wilder, the bomber, no doubt he also felt that he had won it after knocking Tyson's ass to the canvas a couple of times. But this fight should always have come back on. But they both went their separate ways with different sort of deals. And, well, this is how boxing works, right? It's not like there's one division and, like, one pool and everyone just fights in, like, a more ordinary sense. No, you get different deals made by different people. And there's different divisions and there's different sort of belts and all these different kind of things. So it doesn't always make a whole bunch of sense. But the important thing is that 22nd of February 2020 is what's been put out there as the rematch date between these two fighters. They're both going to fight someone else in between. Deontay Wilder will be taking on Luis Ortiz, this Cuban guy. He's obviously had a life of suffering because he's from a communist state, so he'll be tough. And then, well, Tyson Fury is looking to try to fight someone, but the guy he was trying to fight, well, he failed like 3 drugs tests.
Oh.
So he still needs to get a license. But like Tyson Fury says, you know, he needs a durable, tough competitor because he wants to go back into this fight with Deontay Wilder at his best. So he needs someone to really push him in that process because this fight's going to be like the fight. It really will be quite something. In the Tour de France, they've officially moved into France. And Julien Alaphilippe. Alaphilippe.
Ooh, sounds like a great salad.
Alaphilippe.
Alaphilippe. Yeah, Julien Alaphilippe.
Yeah, you said that with such frustration.
No, I just got excited because I knew how to say it.
He stormed into the lead yesterday, Leanne. What an incredible ride. He took the stage win. And with that, he has now opened up a handy lead at the front of the peloton. Jargon.
I know, all those things.
Now, the other guy, Tennyson, who was in the lead, he had a bit of a shitty day yesterday. Some mechanical issues. But yeah, look, none of this really matters in the early stages. It's all just sort of like a bit of a, you know, a bit of a trot around for scenery. The real racing really kind of gets going now. They're in France, some tough days ahead, and well, the action shall unfold, and I shall be bringing you that. As the action has unfolded in AFCON last night, Tunisia, they scraped past Ghana by beating them 5-4 in penalties. Oh, what a shame. But it is still the only African country, North African country, that's actually remaining in this. So there was 1-1 at full time. Tunisia go through on penalties. And then Ivory Coast, they beat Mali 1-0. So where to from here? Well, I'll tell you what. Bafana, of course, are in the mix and they play next Wednesday. They're taking on Nigeria. Now that's going to be tough. That's going to be real tough. But then again, once you get to the knockout stages of any tournament, it will be tough. That'll be at 9 o'clock on Wednesday. Then we've got Senegal versus Benin on 6 o'clock on Wednesday. Thursday, we'll see Ivory Coast versus Algeria. And then Madagascar, the surprise package, who have already beaten Nigeria and topping their group, they'll take on Tunisia. Those are your two matches. Of course, it is the Cricket World Cup right now. And we're into the semis. The be-all, the end-all, the teams that really matter, the top four. So today, Tuesday, at 11:30 South African time, you'll be able to see India versus New Zealand at Old Trafford. That's where SA got their famous win against the Aussies on Saturday. And on Thursday, England versus Australia. I know what you're thinking. It's going to be an England-India final. And I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Into the tennis and in the ladies' draw. Barty, she's gone. Top seed. Done. Finished. That was her tournament all over this year. So, top side of the draw now. We've got Risk taking on Serena Williams. Bottom side of the draw, we've got Halep versus Zhang. Now, Halep beats Coco Gauff, whose dream run came to an end. Otherwise, we've got Svitolina.
You got it, Ben.
Svitolina versus Machova.
There's just no vowels there to work with.
Just not enough, no. And then Strykova, they're all taking you on the local favorite, Konta. Joanna Konta. She's 19th seed, and she is obviously the pride of Wimbledon right now because the English men's players are quite shitty. In the men's, we're into the quarterfinal stages. Djokovic will take on Goffin. He hasn't really been in the news much, Djokovic, because he's just been cruising all the way through. Pella, the Argentine, he'll be taking on Batista Agut. Sam Querrey will be taking on Rafael Nadal. Nadal hasn't won this since, I think, 2010. I think that's when he won Wimbledon. But yeah, he's looking strong. He's looking fast. And then Nishikori versus Federer. That's going to be your pick your matches in the quarterfinals. Rugby championship, just to finish off with. Now, Rusty Erasmus has an injury to Siya Kolisi to worry about here. So he can't really play him. And obviously, they're managing the injury because World Cup year. You've got to manage the injury. But the plus side is that because the SA teams are so dog shit during Super Rugby, they've had a lot of time to come together as an actual Springbok camp. Whereas last year, they had that funny game against Wales in America. Then there was like, I think Rusty Erasmus counted. He had like 260 or 280 minutes of training with the team. And then it was into Test Match Rugby. So now they've got a full month together. Sure, there'll be some players coming back from injury. Sure, there's some players coming back from overseas duties. But they can really have a look at what's going on and condition the players accordingly. But whoever's going to be captain of the Rugby Championship is still a mystery. They may go with Dwayne Vermeulen, they may go with Peter Stefanatoy, Eben Etzebeth, Stephen Kitsoff. But again, all these players also have their own issues with form, injuries, and coming back into playing time. Of course, for the Stormers players, they were shy throughout the whole Super Rugby, so those guys haven't played much at all. Either way, let's have a quick look at the fixtures to wrap it up for today. South Africa's first game will be taking place against Australia, and that will be Saturday the 20th of July. So it's almost upon us, and that will be at 6:05 at Ellis Park. Emirates Airlines Ellis Park. Emirates, that's where Sia got really hammered that one time while watching rugby. On the same day...
invited me back since.
Yeah, on the same day, the Argentina will be taking on New Zealand at 9:05. And then the week after... So basically, with it being World Cup year, it's a much curtailed rugby championship, so the teams play each other once. So SA and New Zealand only play one home game. Argentina, Australia, they play two home games. So whoever wins this is a bit of a... It's not really the biggest honor to win this year's Super Rugby Championship. Although New Zealand probably still will do it anyway. So yeah, South Africa's second game will be against New Zealand on the 27th. Rusty Erasmus may take an entirely different squad to this match, the one that played against Australia. Still to be decided. That'll be at 10:35. And then SA's last game will be in Argentina. And that'll be the 10th of August. And that'll be at 20:11. But yeah, we'll catch up with all that kind of things closer to it. And obviously get more of Rusty Erasmus's plan as far as picking his team for the all-important World Cup. That is your sport for this Tuesday.
Thank you, Ben. Can I just pick your brain a bit? Why do you think Neymar's done at 27? Just like...
Because the money that he went to PSG for was stupid money, right? Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely insane. You can buy countries for. So he has come accustomed to like that dipshit who wants to sue his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Like yesterday's story. He's become accustomed to a certain sort of paycheck. And he can't go to a club and not be the highest earning player. So that someone then buys him and goes, okay, but you're like fourth highest earning. These guys with their egos, and that's the thing when you're a top end sports star, it's all about ego and it's all about sort of, you know, honor and reputation and all that kind of shit. So I don't see the value in buying him for as much as he will essentially be worth on the books.
Mm-hmm.
And PSG aren't going to let him go for, you know, a massive loss. So it's a real stalemate for him. And that will then affect his game, affect his psyche, affect his confidence. And then people will, you know, not really see him as the great he was. Therefore, yeah, we saw it already. Like, he punched a guy in the stadiums the other day. Obviously, he didn't play now in the Copa America because of injury for Brazil. Obviously, the rape allegations aren't really that great. So I just don't see it. I just don't see... I mean, like, Real Madrid, Barcelona, maybe Juventus, Man City. Let's just look at them. Those are your big money clubs. Maybe Liverpool, because they've been doing pretty well of late. But I wouldn't say those squads need him. I just don't see it.
And then at 27, you think his competitive career is then just done?
I know, he's got a couple of seasons in him for sure. But I mean, like, if those teams don't pick him up, what are they going to do? Leicester are going to pick him up. Leicester broke their transfer record last night by signing a guy, I think, for £40 million. That's nothing for Neymar's money.
Like, what do you think led to the amount of money Neymar was paid? Was it more like, do you think it's his own personal management? Do you think it was a club trying to really get him to sign on?
Yeah, look, PSG have got that dodgy Abu Dhabi money. And it's been investigated, and this whole financial fair play thing, they seem to be falling foul of, but not really. It's all very murky. But they put up all that money because they've got all this Abu Dhabi money, and they wanted PSG to become this huge club in Europe. But they did that with a lot of players. They got a huge amount of like high-profile players, and then they get to the quarterfinals of Champions League, and they fall away. They beat everyone in Division whatever in France, Ligue 1.
Ligue who?
Ligue 1.
Okay. Leanne, do you want to correct that?
Earn.
And there's no competition for them.
Yeah, don't put me on the spot.
So the thing is, his game's got backwards because he's playing week in, week out against, like, I don't know, some very substandard sort of league in France. He's not playing against the best in Spain or England or Italy. So, yeah. And also, he's a bit of a dipshit. So.
And I get, to a certain extent, how people who've achieved these amazing levels of success turn into, using your word, dipshittery.
Yeah.
Because, you know, now you've earned millions and millions.
Exactly.
And you're 27 years old. You really, your career is skyrocketing. And then from here, if he doesn't get signed, it's now like, well, now what?
Yeah, and there's the victim mentality. I just don't see it happening. And the thing is, like, he's not humble enough to just go, okay, I'm going to reset my career. I'm going to get back into La Liga because that's obviously the strongest.
Not to defend him, but I think also sport makes it very hard to quickly be humble. Because it's always about who's the next one, who's the hotter one, who's the better score, who was faster. Exactly. And there's always that comparison.
So now he goes to a club where there's like 22-year-olds who are way better than him. And now all of a sudden he's always been the youngest, hottest talent, right? Now he's 27. Then he goes out in the club and the girls aren't talking to him like they used to. So what does he do? Probably picks up cocaine.
Yeah, there's something to be said about that. Or an STD. What now? Complex.
Yeah.
Because it definitely plays with you. I was thinking about Corey Goff at 15 years old and you've played at Wimbledon and no pressure to her, but everyone is now probably thinking, yes, it's amazing and congratulations, but now what?
Well, look at Eugenie Bouchard, right? She was 16. She made the final of Wimbledon. Now she gets the first round of tournaments and that's it.
And you'll always be held
after that, to that. After getting to the final, suddenly she picked up all these endorsement deals. She became like the hottest property in tennis and she's never delivered past that.
That's why I think in Corey's case, Corey Goff, it's quite sweet that the Williams sisters are actually banding up and supporting her. So after Corey played with Venus, Serena actually spoke out and commented on the match. This is just a bit of what she said.
It's interesting because Corey is such an exciting young player and she's so cool and... she's a great girl. I love her dad. Like, I mean, they're just really cool people. And it's a great moment for her and for Venus. It's going to be a big moment for Venus as well because she's playing against a player that actually reminds me of Venus. The way she just kind of her body and everything. So I know that they both want to win, obviously, and go to the next round. And I think that'd be really important for both of them just to, it'll be a good match. I think I might watch.
I don't know about that might watch thing, but everything before that was, I think, nice and sweet to have that sort of support at 15 years old. You're trying to find your feet. And also just handling the world's eyes and attention right now to get, you know, words like this of support from Serena.
Yeah, I think she's certainly not on her own.
Yeah.
Well, essentially you are when you're a tennis player, but, you know, she's not isolated, that's for sure.
Mm. And I didn't know, just because this whole Corey Goff story has been so fascinating to me, just doing more and more research on it, how much of an influence the Williams sisters were to Corey. So they're actually, the Williams sisters and Corey are from Alabama.
Okay.
And the Williams sisters moved to Florida to further their career. And Corey did the exact same thing because of the Williams sisters. And at 8 years old, Corey asked her father to go to the US Open just so that she could meet the Williams sisters and actually got an autograph from one of them. And so you think about growing up idolizing these people. I still just can't get over that fact. You know, you're literally idolizing these people and then here you are playing against one of them.
Do you just not have said by here today that you're actually talking about sports so much?
No, I just...
I mean,
like,
I'm enjoying it.
I just think this is really sweet.
I'm into it.
I'm still not getting over that. Okay, final sports thing. See, Ben, you and I, we can have a sports conversation here.
We can bro it out all day.
We can bro it out. You reminded me of something by mentioning Tyson Fury. What was the big match he played like a few weeks ago?
Tyson Fury?
Yeah. Not a match. He was in a boxing ring and he beat someone up. And
he fought some German guy in June. That's not really a big deal. Second round. finish.
I had some people over at the house. I never really pay much attention to a lot of sport, but they were watching the match and
the fight. And they see her in the kitchen shouting, who scored the goal?
Who won the toss?
Yeah.
Then I realized,
who's betting?
At the end, he sang to his wife, and this is a thing he does regularly. Did you know that?
I think it's big in gypsy culture.
I don't think you can still say gypsy in 2019.
Oh yeah, you can.
He calls himself the Gypsy King.
So he always sings to his wife afterwards, and the reason why I bring it up is because her face is like, okay, like I think this is sweet, but just stop, because it's embarrassing. He started singing Aerosmith for her in the middle of the ring.
I can lay you awake just to hear you breathing. Watch you smile while you are sleeping.
She's standing awkwardly.
While you're far away and dreaming.
Turning red.
I can spend my life in this sweet surrender.
Oh, I'm turning red.
I could stay lost so in this key. Moment forever. Every moment spent with you is a moment I treasure forever and ever. And I don't want to close my eyes. I don't want to fall asleep.
Oh my God.
'Cause I love you, babe. And I don't want to miss a thing. God bless America.
That is what caught my attention.
Yeah, good for him. I mean, this is a guy who was suicidally depressed not so long ago. And here he is busting on Aerosmith to his missus.
Oh.
I mean, look.
Somebody told him he had a good voice.
No, I don't think anyone told him.
He's got a good voice, but not for singing. He's out of tune.
Yeah, but he's also
The roughness of his voice is good.
But also, like, he really wouldn't care. It's just that he thought it would be a fun thing to do. And that's what I think makes Tyson Fury kind of cool.
I don't think anyone's going to go up to him and say, hey, listen, you're out of tune.
Yeah, actually, let me just critique you there. I think you missed this note, that note, and all of the other notes.
And you aren't about to say that to the dude who just won a boxing
fight. But this is the thing. Like this guy's gone through all the highs and lows. Talk about, getting so much and then falling so far. And he literally was going to kill himself. He was in his Ferrari driving towards a bridge, and he was going to just drive into this bridge. He was doing like 270 kilometers an hour, and he said a voice inside of him said, don't be an idiot.
Sure.
But that was his plan. He put on all this weight. He was doing so many drugs, and boxing was never going to be a thing. But yeah, they going back
and
made it. And here he is singing Aerosmith badly. Lovely stories, yeah.
Someone just texted it saying, oh dear Lord, make it stop. Rather play Sia's song.
Oh, ouch, that's a burn.
Yeah, I'm trying to take it as a compliment, but it really isn't. And then someone else says, I think it's sweet. I'm a hopeless romantic. In front of people, I think it's kind of cringeworthy. But okay, let's wrap the hour up with some good news. And as highly requested by Ben Karpinski, it's time for Sit by Sia. Now, I only bring this story up because, to me, I think you can substitute the words of this do-gooder, and the name of the do-gooder rather, and just bring in Leanne Moll, because I feel like this is something, Leanne, that you would possibly do. A man found a baby bird, but realized that he is too intoxicated to save it, so rather simply requested an Uber for the baby bird.
Did he go with the Uber?
No, he was too preoccupied with drinking, but really cared about
his
baby.
So he put the bird in the Uber?
In the Uber, and sent it off to wildlife rescue. So a baby bird arrived to an animal rescue center in an Uber after a man found the two-week-old bird but was too intoxicated to drive. And says, we now know this from their Facebook page, the Wildlife Rehab Center of Northern Utah, who wrote on their page and said, what do you do when you find a sick, injured, or orphaned wild animal, but you've had a few too many? Well, this rescuer called an Uber driver. So the rehab center learned that the people who found the bird had been drinking and didn't want to drive. So impromptu, sitting in some camp chairs, they were hanging out, having a few drinks, when they saw this little bird fall out of the sky. They said that the bird couldn't fly and they couldn't figure out where the bird had come from. And so the man, Tim Crowley, texted a photo to the rehab center and they recommended that the bird come in to get some help. But because they had been drinking, Tim and his friends couldn't drive and they decided they actually wouldn't drive as well. And so at first they came up with the solution as a bit of a joke, saying, let's just call the animal an Uber. And they were like, actually, yeah, why not? We are paying for the Uber, so let's just do it. And they did. So the first Uber driver who realized he was just going to be accompanying a bird actually cancelled the ride. So you're quite a horrible
I was going to say, you have to be a special kind of Uber driver to accept this.
Yeah.
This request.
When they ordered the Uber again, they didn't tell the driver that the bird would be riding alone until after the Uber driver arrived. And thankfully, that driver said yes. And the bird, actually, according to the rehab center, would have died if it didn't take the Uber ride to the rehab center. But now the bird is doing great, if you'd like to know.
Oh, what a nice story.
And they'll be able to release it at the end of the US summer. Just before migration, but I totally feel like this is something you would do.
Oh, Jen. Yeah. Definitely.
You have your priorities in check there. Want to do some good, but also, you know.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
A bit preoccupied with some dope. Well, anyway, that's your sweet set by Sia for this morning. That is also the end of the first hour. Straight after this, we have some more news stories for you. A lot to discuss. So this is the Gareth Cliff Show.
This is CliffCentral.com.